Welcome to another episode of the DeviantArt Podcast. I'm Justin Maller, and I am joined with a familiar face and voice for many of you, Matt Buchholz.
Yeah, and what I love is you got my name right, even though I slaughtered your name the first time we did the episode.
I didn't hold on to that in perpetuity or anything.
And I have an infinitely harder to pronounce last name.
Yeah, look, everyone stuffs mine up, so I don't worry about it too much.
But yeah, I'm glad to be here with Justin Maller.
Hey, there you go. Well, I'm actually excited about this particular podcast because we're a few in now, and I feel like our listeners are well acquainted with your dulcet tones, but perhaps not with your story. So I'm excited to have the opportunity to go behind the GG and get to know the Matt B.
Oh, this is why he gets the big bucks. Well, yeah, where do we start?
That's a good question. Look, let's keep it topical.
Okay.
When did you first find DeviantArt?
Oh, I found DeviantArt almost 15 years ago.
Okay, what was the context?
So I was loving art, always have loved art, drawing very stereotypical OCCs.
Ah.
Or OCs.
OCs. We got carried away.
Yeah, I got used to OCC because of the challenge that we're running.
I love that challenge. Another and, time.
Yeah, another
this
time.
First, yeah.
Lots of characters. I was wanting to go into video game design.
Mm.
And so drawing a lot of characters for the game I was definitely going to build with RPG Maker or whatever system I could, Flash. And found DeviantArt and definitely referenced it for like a lot of character ideas, a lot of like, okay, what's another way I could draw a ninja? Great.
Cool.
Laser sword. And so for me, finding DeviantArt was like finding a home of artists and a whole community where I could just like put out my work and feel like something special was happening.
Cool. So how did that play out like in your evolution creatively and professionally? Like let's go through that. So this time you're creating your own OCs.
Right.
A video game that is definitely gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. So I was still very much evolving my style and I hadn't quite found where I am now. And as I worked through that and got older, I found like, okay, I definitely need to shift away from some of the stuff that I'm creating, especially as a professional. I started finding my way more through like, I was in Seattle and I was making posters for friends' radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was making posters for like improv groups and stuff like that. So I started actually shifting more from like character design and concepts and game design into graphic design and poster design and like lockups and stuff like that.
Two very different worlds.
Very different worlds. Yeah. Like, but it was still fun because I still got to be creative.
Mm.
So finding a way to explore that, and DeviantArt was a great place for that too because I could search posters. And everyone was like, you know, it was a very similar time for people where a lot of people were making show posters and there were a lot of creative outlets for people. So making that shift from like characters to almost like commercial was a real big shift for me, but definitely something that was, you know, I was able to find inspiration for on DeviantArt.
Sure. Yeah, I think finding an application for your creativity is something that a lot of like artists and creative people go through where they start off doing something they purely love, want to find a career or a profession behind it and realize that there's, you know, like more practical ways to apply their creativity than creating ninjas with laser swords. But you did have and do have a creative career, but it's one that evolved similarly, right? It evolved from being purely creative into what you do now, which is an application of your creativity. Like, let's walk through your career arc a little bit.
Sure. So when I first moved to Los Angeles from the Pacific Northwest, I did the restaurant arc. I was looking to do maybe some writing, wrote a couple screenplays, and then found myself at the Groundlings Theater, which is a huge improv theater and school sketch comedy. And I worked with them for almost a decade, and I kind of forged my own path there to become their graphic designer, their social media manager, and really found kind of a home among creative types while I was there.
Sure.
And to this day, I still do some freelance work, do some of their posters.
And Groundlings is legendary.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I was glad to get to go with the staff to one of the shows.
That was so much fun.
Got a little bit of a surprise in there with Kristen Wiig coming out for you guys.
Yeah, we did. But, we'll be sure to get her on the podcast.
Yeah,
shortly.
Well, I'll call up. Hey, Kristen, it's Matt. You may remember me.
I was in the audience name. That time.
Yeah. But I found my way there of really putting all the skills I'd kind of had to use. And in a way, while I was there finding their social media voice, I was able to find new ways to apply my creativity. And also my sense of community, which has always been a big thing for me. I've mm-hmm. been like a camp counselor, a lifeguard, an RA. So all those things are about building community. And so as I continued to apply that into social media, I was just more and more excited to find people who enjoyed similar things and celebrate similar things.
And then DeviantArt.
And then DeviantArt. When I got reached out to for DeviantArt, I was working on an esports company that was doing great at the time, now has miserably failed. I mean, I left, so. But like DeviantArt reached out and I was like, yes, I'm coming home. You know, like, it was so great because it's like now I get my art side and my community side all put together, which anyone who's gone to a con with me and had to suffer me going through an artist alley, like can attest. I go to every booth and I'm just like, whoa, yes. Like I get so excited.
You are
for
very
art,
fun to go to cons with.
And I'm very excited for, yeah, to meet these people and see their art and celebrate that. So having that now as a job at DeviantArt, where like my entire job is to be like, yes, whoa, this is cool. I'm trying not to, sorry, audio engineer.
I think we should actually offer as a pro.
Great. That's me running through Artist Alley.
We should offer as a prize on an activation or a community challenge the opportunity to go to a convention with you.
we give them a badge.
Yeah.
They walk through. I tell them why every booth I'm just stoked for. Your color theory's great. The way that you applied. This print. we recently went, I went with Matt Wilkinson, our artist relations guy, to Lightbox Expo recently. Mm. And
amazing lineup.
A huge, amazing lineup. And we bought a bunch of books for the DeviantArt Library, which is a project I'm working on that I'm really stoked about, where we're putting a bunch of books from artists on DeviantArt in our library so that everyone can enjoy them that works here. And we bought Loish's new book.
Mm.
And I remember I got it. And I think the first thing I said was like, wow, the paper print texture is so good.
I remember you pointing that out to me before I had coffee.
It's such a silly thing to like focus on, but it's such a great like physical and tactile piece.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It really enhances the whole product.
I agree.
And so being able to celebrate that, long story short, coming back to where we started, I love it all. And getting to celebrate it is cool.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what you do love. The whole point is mm-hmm. to, you know, get to know the human being here.
Okay.
So cons. We know you love cons.
Love conventions. Been going to those for years.
And you do have quite the history in esports.
I do have esports and video game history. I did get to work at Electronic Gaming Monthly. I was a video game journalist for about 2 years. Traveled the world. Got to play all the games before they came out. Went to all the cons, E3s. Talked with everyone. And then went into more esports. Covered all the Blizzard games. Covered Overwatch League. Covered a little bit of League of Legends. But got to go around and see all of that stuff too. So cons were a big part of my life, from BlizzCon to E3 to PAX, all of them.
I think it's amazing the way you've managed to like take all of your passions and grow them into like professional endeavors for yourself as well. It's very inspiring.
I mean, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm really stoked with where I'm ended up sounds like so anticlimactic, but like where I achieved, it has been really cool. Sorry, my dog is all over the place. This is Scudder.
It seems like a good break to have a talk about this refined gentleman.
He's a delight, yeah. So this is Scudder. He's one of our office dogs. He's my dog. And he's a Chiweenie, and he loves being here. But he wanted to be in on this podcast, so we let him.
He's a very sweet boy.
But yeah, I think that one of
this
the things...
This is excellent podcast material.
All of you can hear Scudder.
And let's listen to Scudder real quick.
Yeah. Scudder, what do you have to say? Mm.
A world first, a dog on a podcast.
Profound.
Breaking new ground here at the DA podcast.
But going back to what you were saying, I think that there is something to be said about finding something you're passionate about, finding something that you love, and then making that a reality for yourself.
Absolutely, because you're going to bring authentic joy and passion to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think if more people were able to find that like joy and passion in what they do, like world would be a happier place. Like there's so many opportunities for that you just have to create, because if someone approached me when I was a kid and was like, hey, you're going to be able to go online and talk with people about art and video games and celebrate all of that, and you'll get paid for it. And just like, your job is to make people happy about it. I wouldn't have thought that was a thing. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, the internet wasn't really a thing. So.
Well, now you can play video games for a living. That's a viable career. So that's not too much of a leap.
Exactly. Yeah. So if there's something out there that like you're a creative person and you feel like, wow, I'd love to do this, or these are things I enjoy, find a way, because there's definitely something you can probably do, or something very similar to what you want to do to make that a reality for yourself.
Well, I want to latch on. Sorry, I want to pat your dog, but then I want to latch on to something you just said, which is about make opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you go, like, let's go into that, because like, it's all too easy, I think, to fall into the trap of waiting for something to land on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Make opportunities is a really succinct way of saying it. So how did you like go about making opportunities for yourself in these fields that you love?
Sure. So going back to like Groundlings, when I started there, my very first position there was as an assistant box office manager.
Mm.
So I was like literally taking tickets,
taking
nothing
orders. To do with creativity, nothing to do with social media, nothing to do
zero.
With community.
And as I saw like more posters come out, I was just recognizing like, hey, like I think that like I could do this in a cool way. Like I have this passion. I've got like the worst of portfolios, but I can show these like old Rainy Dog radio posters that I made and
laser swords.
Yeah. And laser swords. But like, let me try one. And once I did that, they started really liking my style. And since I was in the box office so much, I was able to work with the actors and the directors more, and it gave them a better opportunity. So me being there actually helped them, because I was more accessible than a lot of the artists they'd worked with in the past. And so I found that like, oh, I can apply this here. And then being in the box office, I noticed, okay, the sales aren't like where this is, or like, oh, I'd talk to someone, they wouldn't know what Groundlings was.
Mm.
Okay, well, do we have a social media? Not of the best caliber. Great, I can hop in on that, I can do that. And so finding that opportunity and making that happen was just like noticing things. And then knowing that like, I like talking about, I love celebrating it, I'm going to try and show that to other people.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, just recognizing opportunity and like putting mm-hmm. your hand up to say, me.
Yeah. And I mean,
why not me?
Yeah. And that can even be smaller things. Like it doesn't have to be a full career change. Like the DeviantArt library, going back to that. That's something. Yeah. It's not something that we necessarily always, we've always had a library, but it's not something that we've always like kept flourishing. Or
no, it's awesome that it's like growing again.
And so
being nurtured.
Reaching out to Julian, our front desk guy, like he is studying library sciences. So it became a partnership of like, hey, let's just talk about what we can do here, because you're studying this and I'm a librarian's kid and I love books. Like, let's make that happen.
Nice.
So that's on a much smaller scale, the way that like you can just kind of manifest that.
Well, to this sort of point, let's go through a typical day for you.
Okay.
Because like, remind the people what your title is.
Okay, so I'm head of social media.
But what do you actually do every day?
Okay, so my day is typically I come in, bring Scudder in, give him some food, make about 2 cups of coffee.
We're getting real granular on this, people.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, at 8:57 a.m., roll through the doors, 15 steps to the right.
Okay, come on, speed this up.
No, but basically I spend a lot of my time looking at comments on all of our social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and responding to people there.
Monitoring the feeds.
Monitoring the feeds, making sure that if people have questions, I can help direct them to the people that can answer them better. Like, I'm not the customer service team, so I can't fix everything, but I can tell you who can,
mm-hmm.
and I can direct you to the right people for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of what I do. On top of that, I also get to do some amazing stuff with the ideation teams, coming up with things that DeviantArt does in the future. I get to work on the podcast. I get to be in the studio with Jules. I get to do all sorts of fun things here, which is cool. But my day is everything possible, all crammed into one.
You do try to fit it in, don't you?
I really try, and I have a great time doing it. But coming from such a scattered background of things I've done, it's nice to be able to wear so many hats, too. It keeps it new and fresh.
Most definitely. Very cool being able to go into all that sort of stuff. I feel like I learned a little thing or two about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. I mean, I knew most of that.
Scorpio, 6'2", 195.
Let's do some hot takes.
Okay, all hot right. takes.
And we'll start with that.
Okay.
Astrology.
Oh, okay.
Useful or...
I think useful. I think a little bit of Barnum Bailey effect, but I like astrology. I think it's fun.
Barnum Bailey effect, a thing normal people know or something you say to sound smart?
Psych 101. I don't know. I thought everyone had to take that.
Everyone must have traditional roots to be a successful artist.
Oh, no. No one should. Like, traditional roots are a blast, and I mean, I'm a Sharpie person. I draw everything in marker. But if you do digital, some people can only do digital, and they do it better than anyone who touched traditional could do. It's a different mindset.
Cacti, plants for the lazy or spiky organic friends?
I mean, they're not even plants for the lazy. I've killed so many succulents.
Okay, in front of the camera or behind the camera?
Ooh, That's tough. Mm. I'm going to say in front of the camera for now, just because like I'm on here. Yeah, it's fun.
Hey, you're enjoying being the show pony, aren't
you? Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's good. Yeah. Traditional endings for podcasts or jazz endings for podcasts?
Jazz endings.
Thank you for joining
the DeviantArt Podcast.